The rule of law in our country is being weakened through frequent aggressive attacks by radical progressives. You can count on AFA Action to let you know how our constitutional religious freedoms are being destroyed. You can join the fight by responding to Action Alerts and by giving to AFA Action today. When you do, you'll help protect our rights and you'll get free access to David Barton's mini-documentary, God in the Constitution. Find out more and give at AFAAction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program, Today's Issues here on AFR. Today, ladies and gentlemen, is Wednesday, June the 19th, 2024. So, two more days until the longest day of the year, which I personally am grateful for. And Ed Battagliano joins me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. Now, you're grateful for the longest day of the year, but not what comes immediately after it.
Which is
the days growing shorter.
Yeah.
Sunlight.
It'll
still be 20, sunlight. It'll still be 24 hours. But yeah.
Wesley Wildman, good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. I have violated our discussion from yesterday, and I have wore my Tennessee orange, or is it my Florida orange? I'm just going to wait and see who wins.
Why is this you're violating what now?
Yesterday we decided that it's wrong. It's illegal. It's immoral to pick teams based on winning or losing. And what I have decided to do is wear my Florida orange, or it could be my Tennessee orange.
The reason, and Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
The reason
whatever.
Yeah, good morning, Fred. Wesley, let me explain you something. Yeah. You and I know what you're saying.
Going on. I was getting there.
These two gentlemen here are enthralled in the NHL Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Seven game playoffs. They're over there.
Sure.
You and I are over here watching the College World Series.
Right. Oh, that's baseball. Okay,
now how this makes sense?
Yes, it does.
So in the College World Series finals,
that's right,
are both the University of Tennessee orange,
right,
and the University of Florida deeper orange.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Wesley's wearing an orange shirt.
You see so
you are hedging your bets.
You're right.
You're going to be a winner.
I don't know if that's Florida or Tennessee orange you got on there.
Looks more Tennessee.
The collar looks Florida and the shirt looks Tennessee.
Because it's got the white in there. Yeah. It kind of changes the color.
Right.
Anyway, back to the NHL. Florida. Back to hockey.
We open that up.
In the NHL. Stanley Cup playoffs.
I am standing by my team. I am so proud of the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay.
They were down three games to zip.
Yeah.
All right. So they go to Edmonton and they win one game in Edmonton. Edmonton did. Last night they went back to Miami, where the Florida Panthers are based.
Right.
A lot of people,
ice hockey in Miami.
Yes.
Yes.
A lot of people expect it because the Panthers have been playing great.
Right.
Right.
A lot of people expected, okay, they're back on home ice. This is going to be it. They're going to win the Stanley Cup last night. Well, lo and behold, that did not happen.
Right.
Edmonton went up 3-0 at one point. The Florida Panthers did come back strong. It was 3-2, and then I think it was 4-3.
4-3, and they finally won 5-3.
Yeah.
Edmonton Oilers.
Panthers pulled their goalie.
Yeah.
And it was exciting.
It was a really good game.
Yes.
I will say this. Now, Connor McDavid, who's the star.
You are losing me. You're losing me.
Okay. He's the star. He's unbelievable. You should watch clips of Connor McDavid.
Oh, I've heard
McDavid.
His name. Yeah, I asked Bobby who the best player in the
Bobby
league
Rosa.
Was. And he said
Connor McDavid.
Remember the name.
He said when he was asked before the game last night, what is it you're looking to do? He said, we just want to drag them back to Edmonton. Because the flight is like 2,500 miles between Miami and Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we just want to drag them back to Edmonton, and that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. So game five.
Game six. Friday night.
Then we'll be dragged back to Edmonton.
No plans.
No plans.
In Edmonton. I'm watching the game.
It's getting good.
Yes.
All right. Trivia Friday will be tomorrow, right, Ian?
It'll be, tomorrow's Thursday.
Actually, that's right.
No, tomorrow's Thursday. I think we're skipping Thursday.
It's good to know.
No, because it's the longest day of the year.
Yes.
And
got to make up that time somewhere.
I just took it off my calendar.
Oh, boy.
So, no, Trivia Friday will be Friday.
Friday.
Today's,
yes,
I thought today was Thursday. Wow, the week. I've just enjoyed it so much.
It's Talk long. About long so days. Fun. Your week just got longer.
I know, right?
That's right.
I think tomorrow. I looked this up. Either June 20th or 21st is the longest daylight,
right,
at least where we live,
right,
in North America.
Yeah.
I don't know. The poles would be changing, right? They'd be different, I guess. So.
Well, just depending on what hemisphere you're in, that changes.
Yeah.
Just
all right.
The fact that Ed says hemisphere.
Right.
That's awesome. I don't know. Something about it. It sounded like you were about to go into some deep,
right,
deep scientific type.
Yeah. Nothing beyond that.
Just
hemisphere. I just was able to pull that word out of the back of my head somewhere.
Okay.
Those knowledge,
I started getting interested. You drew me in.
Well, you know, today there's hemisphere and hemisphere. And then you can choose your pronoun for your spheres.
That's
too, you know,
that's right.
It's a different world we live in. We don't want to be, you know,
misgender
our spheres.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
You know, you do that, you got trouble.
You do.
All right, Fred, what's leading the news?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've just spent 5 minutes, and now it has been an education for our people. But,
that's right.
Anyway, go ahead.
You know, we're in an election year.
Uh-huh.
That's not breaking news.
Uh-huh.
But primaries are still going on out there.
Yeah.
And there is a very interesting Republican primary going on for a congressional seat there in Virginia. And it involves a fairly high-profile Republican, Congressman Bob Good, who's chair of the House Freedom Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
And he is in a battle right now. State Senator John McGuire. They voted yesterday. And there's now only 327 votes between the two. McGuire holds a lead of about 327 votes.
That's as of maybe 2 hours ago?
A couple of hours ago, according to the Associated Press. Now, apparently, Virginia celebrates Juneteenth. So they've stopped the count. We'll have to wait until tomorrow to figure out. There's about 63,000 ballots or something like that.
Stopping the count.
Yeah.
Where have we seen that before? We've
been down this road before.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, what's interesting about this race is that the state senator, John McGuire, had the blessing of former President Donald Trump over Bob Good. So a lot of people are kind of waiting to see the results of this. Because Bob Good is well-respected amongst conservatives. McGuire is very conservative. But the impact of the Trump endorsement is what people are very interested in.
Yeah, I've had, there's a friend of mine who lives in the Charlottesville area. And that's part of the district that this primary is going on. And he also commented to me that couple things. There's been a lot of money poured in by Kevin McCarthy, the former Speaker of the House, against Bob Good, because Good was one of the congressmen that participated in the ousting of Kevin McCarthy, and McCarthy's getting his revenge because he raised money to take out Bob Good, right, in the situation. Good old human revenge.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. The second part is Trump demands fealty, and Bob Good supported Governor Ron DeSantis in the primary initially. He later, after Governor DeSantis bowed out, he said, "I support President Trump," but Trump said that was too late, not good enough. Excuse the pun. You see what I did there?
I did, yeah.
So Trump said he was going with the challenger, State Senator McGuire.
Yes.
So Bob Good was, he may still pull this out, but he was up against, so Trump wanted him gone, McCarthy wanted him gone, and I was told that Democrats can vote in this this open primary.
In some places, they
some people I was told that some Democrats crossed over to vote out Bob Good.
Yes. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hmm.
To participate in the ousting of Bob Good, if that's what in fact happens. Again, as Fred noted, it's 50-50.
Have we ever heard of a time or an election where Republicans voted in the Democratic Party
primary?
Primary in the name of voting for the lesser of the two Democrats?
It's rare. I don't know. I can't think of an example. I can think of a couple of examples where I remember where Democrats voted in Republican primaries.
No. I think you're missing it. So what I'm saying is that I can think of two or three off the top of my head where Democrats voted in the Republican primary in order to get a less conservative candidate in. But I can't think of one where Republicans went out and voted in a Democrat primary to get a less.
Well, I voted for Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah. So, fair enough. Okay. Well, that answers my question. No, I appreciate you.
Also depends what hemisphere you're in, fellas.
I wanted Hillary out, so I voted for Bernie.
Did you really?
Oh, okay.
No, we
didn't. I got you. I can just see that. For those of you.
Do I need to do five plus three again, or do we get that? The point I was making.
No, I do. I got it.
Okay, fair enough.
For those of you about to post to Facebook, you started typing, I can't believe Tim Wildman voted for Bert. Okay, I'm kidding. So you need to put your hands off the Facebook post.
Yeah.
Because I'm teasing there.
Well, you weren't put in that position, though. Let's play hypothetical. If you had... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, let's don't play hypothetical.
Well, you know
why? We got real life stuff that we get in trouble with.
And we get in enough trouble
with real life. We don't need hypotheticals. Next story, Fred.
All right. We're just over 8 months into the Israeli war against Hamas. And, you know, it didn't take long for the knives to come out against Israel. That they were doing cruel things in Gaza, and they lost support in America, even amongst Democrats. I can remember Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who is Jewish, turned on Netanyahu, said there should be new elections there because he didn't like the way Netanyahu was carrying out the war. Well, Netanyahu's been very diplomatic up to now about the opposition he has faced here in the United States. Open chastisement even from Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, and other high-profile Democrats. But yesterday, Prime Minister Netanyahu, in a video, kind of unleashed some frustrations against America, and it had to do with some reduction in the numbers of weapons that the United States has been sending to Israel. So here's a little bit of what Netanyahu had to say yesterday, cut number one.
When Secretary Blinken was recently here in Israel, we had a candid conversation. I said I deeply appreciated the support the U.S. has given Israel from the beginning of the war. But I also said something else. I said it's inconceivable that in the past few months, the administration has been withholding weapons and ammunition to Israel. Israel, America's closest ally, fighting for its life, fighting against Iran and our other common enemies. Secretary Blinken assured me that the administration is working day and night to remove these bottlenecks. I certainly hope that's the case. It should be the case. During World War II, Churchill told the United States, give us the tools, we'll do the job. And I say, give us the tools and we'll finish the job a lot faster.
All right, so there you have it. There was almost immediate reaction from the White House. Green Jean-Pierre said, basically, we don't know what the Prime Minister is talking about. Now, what is true?
She wanted to be clear, though.
Yes.
Let me be clear. Right?
Yes.
Right?
But what is true is that the United States has withheld some weapons, the 2,000-pound bombs. They say they have, at least there has been a period when the United States withheld those bombs from Israel because they say the United States, the Biden administration, saying those bombs do a lot of damage, would kill more civilians. There is a deep divide within the Democratic Party on this. You have many basically pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas people within the Democratic Party. I'm thinking about AOC. I'm thinking about members of the Squad in general who have openly condemned Israel's response in trying to end the war against the Hamas terrorists who carried out that horrible massacre on October 7th. More than 1,200 Israeli men, women, and children were massacred on that day. Netanyahu is committed to ending this, to putting Hamas out of business, and then after that, having a certain degree of control over Gaza. But yesterday was very unusual for Netanyahu to be so blunt, so open in his criticism of the Biden administration.
Because he said for over the past few months, so this isn't just a particular type of weapon or particular, you know, size in terms of, you know, explosive power, you know, one particular bomb or missile.
So he
was saying weapons and ammunition over the past several months. So somebody has this story wrong.
Yes.
Either the Biden administration is not being forthcoming. Perhaps Benjamin Netanyahu was speaking hyperbolically, you know, out of frustration. I don't know. But this, it is disturbing that we have seen the U.S. at least seem to pull back a little bit in terms of wholehearted support for what Israel is doing, especially being a nation that spent 20 years in Iraq and Afghanistan, get it, quote unquote, getting the job done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what Netanyahu is saying. They want to, they need this artillery, as it were, to complete the job. Israel, it's been a bad week for Netanyahu. His war council, some of his key members of his war council quit. And also Hezbollah, the Hezbollah terrorists based in Lebanon, are increasing their attacks against northern Israel.
There are Iranian-backed.
Yes.
Iranian, probably.
And Hezbollah is actually more powerful and organized than Hamas on this. So it's a tough time, and I think Netanyahu is just saying we want to complete this, but we can't unless we have the full support of the United States. Bottom line.
Yeah. Well, we need to, you know, we need to continue to support Israel strongly for various reasons. They're our number one ally in the Middle East, and they have a way of life that's very similar to ours here in the U.S., and they're, you call that westernized, that's what you want to call it. And also, for Christians, we got the holy sites there. Now, Judaism does, too, and Islam does, too.
Right.
But we, you know, the holy sites in that area, and these, I mean, that's secondary to human life.
Right.
But you understand what I'm saying here. And then also peace in the region. You know, it's interesting to me that nobody wants Hamas to be in their country. Even the Arab countries that surround Israel don't want them.
Been there, done that, they said. They
Egypt
tried
doesn't
it.
Want them.
Egypt doesn't.
Egypt doesn't want them. Jordan doesn't want them.
Yep.
Saudi Arabia doesn't want them. You know the land that Saudi Arabia has? Have you ever looked at that?
Oh, yeah.
They got three or four major cities, and after that, it's a bunch of desert.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, and you know the money the Saudis have? My word. They're looking for ways to spend money. I'm just saying that the Arab countries, with all their oil money, could easily build a place in the Middle East for the Palestinian people, who are brothers with them, and since that they're all Arabs and they're Muslims, the vast majority.
They don't want Sharia law.
That's the
ultimate place that you get to if you invite them in.
Yeah, they're very so. I mean, but I'm just saying, what does that say to you? It says to you that even their own Arab brothers don't want them living in their country.
Right.
And yet they want to tell Israel, you know, there's a reason for that, and that's because Hamas is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, if you remember the what was called the Muslim Brotherhood,
right,
that the Egyptian government had to deal with. their extreme Islamic views are Sharia law. I mean, so we'll see what happens there. But just interesting to me that that everybody wants, the Arab countries themselves don't want to take their fellow Arabs.
Well, the Muslim Brotherhood kicks out Hamas. Hamas was too extreme for the Muslim Brotherhood.
In Egypt.
Yeah. In Egypt. And Egypt had to deal with the Muslim Brotherhood later on. Then you know that's why nobody wants Hamas within their borders.
The Arabs who live in Gaza could have done a lot better for themselves, had Hamas not been the ideology that carried the day. And Hamas is just driven by sheer and raw hatred of the Jews. Mm-hmm. And Israel, and that's and not how can we take this piece of land, which is a beautiful on the ocean front, or the Mediterranean Sea, I should say, could have been built up, you know,
with all the aid pouring in there, and they have beautiful topography, beautiful beaches.
Yeah.
That could have been a shining star
right.
in the Middle East
right.
and become very wealthy with trade.
Right. But anyway, we need to support Israel. And the interesting thing is here, you always need to remember this. You have to go back to what started this. Okay. Has Israel made some mistakes along the way? Yeah, that happens in war. But you know what? You know who started this? The Hamas organization went in to Israel and slaughtered
1,200
Israeli citizens in one day.
Go terrorism.
Cut their heads off. Excuse me, I'm sorry to get so graphic. Butchered them like pigs at a slaughterhouse. I mean, it'll turn your stomach to even think about what all happened. You should watch some of this footage. That's what started this.
Yes.
Now, to me, if you start a war like that in such a savage way, whatever happens to you after that is
your fault.
Is your fault and was brought on by your initiating a war with a greater power. It was stupid, okay? It was, in my view. I don't know what Hamas hoping to, except for getting their, quote, pound of flesh out of their hatred for the Jews. I'm not sure exactly what they hope.
I think
how they wanted this to end.
I think they were hoping other Arab countries would join.
It would provoke a regional war.
Yes,
all the Arab countries would join in.
And they wipe out Israel.
That's a good point.
That's what I think.
It didn't happen that way.
No.
It didn't happen that way.
And all this, by the way, was premeditated.
Yes,
because
right.
Hamas had been spending all the money they were
right.
getting, well, a lot of it, they'd been spending on building tunnels,
right.
making preparations,
right.
stockpiling weapons and ammunition. And so for this moment,
right.
right, so this was premeditated. This wasn't an accidental triggering of a war with simmering tensions, okay? And it's just ridiculous to hear people, these college kids on campuses until they all went home and went on vacation for the summer. Okay, they were protesting on college campuses, and their attitude was like, well, Israel's killing X number of people, Palestinians, and they only lost 1,200, so it's uneven. Well, so are you saying Israel should have waited until 15,000 Jews were killed? Then they're okay?
Yeah.
There's no logic on that. On the left side of this.
All right, we'll be back after this short time out. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, if you want to send us an email, here's the address. And as I expressed oftentimes here on this program, if you're going to take the time to send us an email, it needs to be a K-Love email.
Right. That's fair.
And by that, reasonable. I mean positive and encouraging.
Yes. Which is what Christians should be anytime, every time. Right? Positive and encouraging.
Not negative and depressing.
I don't care what hemisphere you live in.
Yes, that's it.
The email address is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. And we do welcome your emails by people who support and listen to AFR. Fred Jackson's here with us. He's our news director. Tim, Ed, and Wesley, we're talking about the news of the day. Guys, when is former President Trump going to announce his VP pick?
I think it's going to be the convention.
They usually do that at the convention.
So sort of build up the build up the curiosity.
Keep the media talking about you. President Trump is
right.
Very good.
Smart at, politics.
It's smart politics. Keep them, keep the media talking about, he says, hey, I'm pretty close.
Who do you like,
Dad? In January.
Do you have a particular choice of the ones who have been mentioned?
I like.
Drum roll, please.
I like J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance.
Tim Scott.
In this
Marco
order?
Marco Rubio. No, in any order.
Any three of those guys.
Well, some of the others are probably
J.D. Vance, of course, the senator from
Ohio.
But he's a first-term senator from Ohio. But from Ohio. Wesley, what is
July 15th through the 18th is the convention there.
In Milwaukee. Mm-hmm.
So that's when.
So you think that it could hold off to then and then.
I think so because he's getting so much play. Mm-hmm. There's so much teasing going on right now.
And it's another 4 weeks.
But now in February, he said, I got the person picked. Remember that? He said, I've already.
I think that was gamesmanship.
Yeah.
That's you know what he does. He just keeps him. Remember when he was president in the White House? He was constantly tweeting and stuff and would get the media fired up and they would be talking about something that he wanted them to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, maybe the person he had picked out in February indicated to him they weren't interested. Yeah. I'm just guessing. Maybe he had somebody and then it didn't work out. Wesley, who would be your pick?
I've been back and forth on this. I do like for totally different reasons than we've talked about off the radio.
But all right.
Ben Carson, I know he does not have the same.
I like him to read to me.
Yes. But no, seriously, no.
I could Ben Carson.
I could go either way from a strategic point of getting Christians
read a book
to vote. I can see Ben Carson being a similar draw that Mike Pence was at the time, if you remember that, and it worked then. I don't know if that would work now. However, if
you mean the Christian vote?
The Christian vote. If you remember back in 2015, a lot of Christians had the same issues, some similar issues that we have today about Donald Trump's character, blah, blah, blah. Well, when he decided to go with Mike Pence, for a lot of Christians, that's what they needed in order to vote for him in 2016.
You think we may need that again?
Right. And number two, I'm also being realistic here.
Yeah.
Because I'm calculating the fact that Trump usually, or I can't think of a situation where Trump has put somebody in his 2, 3, or 4 spot or worked with them closely and that had the same level of personality, of high personality that he has. And I feel like anybody that you're probably about to list is in conflict with his platform.
He don't want to be up.
He don't want to compete.
Yeah, he doesn't want to. He wants some. Yes, that's right.
While I could list 2 or 3 that I think would be more effective.
Right.
Right.
I don't think that they're realistic in him picking. And I'll give you one of those and then we can pass the baton here. But I think Ramaswamy. I've listened to him enough. Now, early on, there were some question marks for the extreme conservatism because of something he's written in a few books from years ago.
Extreme conservatism? You're against that?
No, I didn't say I was against it. I was saying that they had some question marks about some of the things that he's written in years past about some of his books. However, I've watched enough on him on the things that are most important to me personally, and I think he articulates the Constitution in its original intent better than anybody, even some of the really good conservatives. As far as articulating the issue, I'm not saying they don't believe in the issue.
Ramaswamy,
would be my
very smart guy, conservative. He's Hindu.
I think
is he a Hindu?
I don't think he talks about it enough to know really, but he. I mean,
well, he says I'm a Hindu.
He's from that background.
Says I'm a Hindu or I'm a Hindu background, but. I'm more of a Christian than most Christians. That's kind of how he says it here. But as far as his constitutional conservatism, I think Vivek Ramaswamy would be dynamite.
So realistic, I think he'll pick somebody like Ben Carson. However, I think he would be most effective if he picked somebody
Ramaswamy. I sounded like I was disrespecting Dr. Ben Carson. Sure. I was having a little fun with his
he's very low key.
Well, he's not. He's interchangeable with Mike Pence.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Wesley.
They could sit in a booth and have coffee at Waffle House. Nobody
yes,
could go there.
That's right. Yeah, fair enough.
Huh?
That's it. Huh? Yes.
And if the guy, and
they
the
know way, that too. They're adults. They know that.
If that is funny, you get a fist bump too.
That's right. Pass around the fist bump.
That is funny. We got to know those two guys.
We need to get Fred's take at some point.
Yeah, we are. But what's
wrong? That is so funny.
The visual of it is why it's.
Yeah, it just came up with it. Booth and Waffle House.
I'm processing it.
Excuse me, ma'am. Could I have some more syrup? I mean, they're not gonna upset any apple carts. They're going to pray for the waitress.
And if they get their order wrong, no one's going to know. No. They're not going to say anything.
That's fine. I'm sure she's having a tough day.
Right. That's it.
Ma'am, this would be Dr. Ben Carson.
Yeah.
Ma'am, I ordered these over easy. And they're scrambled.
Yes.
I'd like to know what the cook's going to do about this. All right. So, I don't think it'll be Dr. Carson for VP. Other than us talking about it, his name is not in the top 5 that I've seen. And, but anyway, who knows about that? Now, Fred, as Wesley rightly said, what is your take?
I would agree with Ed. J.D. Vance and Tim Scott are my two top possibilities. But I'll go a little farther down to the cabinet. Ben Carson, Secretary of Health.
There you go.
Vivek Ramaswamy, Secretary of Commerce.
I would put
Vivek or Homeland Security.
Yeah. I got a department for Vivek Ramaswamy.
Okay.
If I'm Donald Trump I get elected, it's called the Fire 'Em All.
Yes.
Department.
Hey.
If I'm Donald Trump, I would tell Vivek Ramaswamy, listen, buddy, you fire everybody you want to.
Yes. Reorganize the reorganized DC.
Go into the Justice Department and tell them all to go home. Tell them all to go home. We're hiring all new staff here.
Yeah.
You see what,
He'd be the henchman czar.
He
gets together. You ever see the movie The Untouchables?
Yeah.
Yeah, they go in, you know, to where the speakeasies and they bust up the, all the beer and all that kind of stuff with axes. They go in. And that's what
Vivek Ramaswamy would do.
He would be in charge of that. He'd be Kevin Costner going in.
I would pay big money, though, having given my priorities for a VP.
Right.
I would like to see Vivek Ramaswamy as a VP if I could see a debate with Kamala Harris.
Hey, J.D. Vance.
Between,
J.D. Vance.
Between those,
you, brother.
Between those two, I tell you what, that would be incredible.
You would be feeling sorry for her.
Yeah.
After about 10 minutes, you would please stand. But please, Vivek, stop.
But I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't say stop, but I might feel bad for her. J.D. Vance is supposed to be a very good debater, too.
I'm sure he is.
Kamala Harris isn't going to – she's not going to do well against anybody.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't think she – and listen, I don't mean this to sound racial, because she wouldn't do good against Ben Carson or
Tim Scott
or Byron Donalds. That's another one, the Florida congressman.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think she's all there. I don't think she's a Swiftie.
Or ever will be.
Or Swiftie. She's not a Swiftie.
Okay.
Or very articulate or smart.
Right. Oh, right, no. Now you dig
it the
hole.
Is this the time of the program where y'all ask me my opinion?
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason why you ask us.
Right, because
yes,
I wanted to hear my own voice.
Go ahead.
So you agree J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, or who'd you say?
Tim Scott.
From South Carolina.
And I also added Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio from Florida. And Wesley, you said what?
I think
Ben Carson.
Ben Carson, I think, is more realistic. I think that Ramaswamy would help him the most.
Okay. Well, I don't know a lot about J.D. Vance from Ohio. I know he won, and he was – at one time he was a never-Trumper.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became good friends with the former president. And so I think he, being a senator from the Midwest, that may help. And I think Ohio is going to vote red anyway on a statewide level in terms of presidential race. But having a senator from the Midwest may help in other Midwestern states.
Yeah.
I don't know if that matters anymore. Regionalism used to matter.
I'm not sure that matters
anymore. Hey, I don't think that matters. You know, regionalism used to – I'll get back to my answer in a minute. But regionalism used to matter.
Right.
Because whoever a party selected, Democrat or Republican, they would often choose a VP candidate from another part of the country.
They would call it balancing the ticket.
Balancing the ticket. For example, JFK picked LBJ.
Right.
Right. Texas, Massachusetts, New England, South.
Right.
Ronald Reagan, governor of California, picked George Bush, who had ties to New England and Texas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of changed when Clinton and Gore teamed up, because you had two senators from the South.
Well, Al Gore was originally from Mars. But he was a transplant.
Is that where he invented the internet while living on Mars?
Yes, Tennessee. He was one of those alien.
Yes.
I think he's a lizard person. But he did eventually settle.
You're
in
really
Tennessee.
Deep into it, man. You've been watching too many Twilight Zone episodes, evidently.
You can't watch too many Twilight Zone episodes.
So, I'm just going with my.
So
gut.
What's your answer though?
Marco Rubio.
Rubio.
Mm-hmm. That's me. I could go for any of the guys that have been mentioned here. I would have hoped he'd have chosen Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida.
Right.
because I think he's the most effective conservative.
I forgot about considering him. I agree with that.
Well, yeah, but
I don't think he'd take it.
I don't think Trump would offer it because DeSantis challenged him. And I don't think DeSantis would take it because DeSantis is a policy wonk. He's DeSantis gets up today with a daily planner, okay? And he strategizes, and he's detailed, and he's disciplined. All the things Trump isn't.
Right.
You know, now you might say, well, that works, whatever works for you. I understand. Trump is fly by the seat of your pants. Let's hit the road. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he likes to
make decisions with your gut. And right. I'm not saying that's always wrong. I'm not. He's evidently been a very successful businessman operating in that way. But those two personalities, and both of them being alpha males, that doesn't. You need somebody to be your VP that's going to be a little more subservient to your personality.
So why do you say Marco Rubio? And then I want to throw a name out to see what you guys think. But
Marco Rubio, I just think Marco Rubio, for the most part in his career, has been a solid conservative. A couple things I would say, that Gang of Eight thing he participated in a few years ago was not good. If you may remember back to that, they were trying to work out some kind of thing to deal with immigration and pathway to citizenship and all that. And I thought Marco Rubio was on the wrong side of that, but that was like 8-10 years ago or something like that. I just,
he's Hispanic, a Cuban background.
Is that a Hispanic, a Cuban?
I think it's considered in the
or Latino.
Hispanic Latino, probably. Maybe more accurate Latino.
Yeah. Yeah. And now the thing about it is, where does Trump list his residency? Is it New York? Because you can't have two people from the same state.
You know, I looked that up, and that appears to be questionable, that the Constitution requires to be separate states.
Okay. I've read that.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up, but I think I looked that up one time, and it's and I'm not sure that's true. But let me ask you this. Were you finished with Marco? Okay, so here's a real possibility. Okay, I've heard this name floated around. It's intriguing from a political sense. What about Tulsi Gabbard? Mm-hmm. What if Donald Trump says, "I want to unite the country"? Tulsi Gabbard was too conservative for the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party's whacked out. Now I know she's got terrible social issues. Not social issues. She's terrible on social issues.
Is she terrible?
I think she's pro-life, but I think she's pro-LGBTQ. That's my impression. But anyway, she would be a woman on the ticket. She is...
Like Trump, a former Democrat.
Yes.
They were both... Tulsi, I met her before, and she's been at a couple of meetings I've been at. I really like her. I
mean, she's pro-military.
I really like her. Now, I don't know. I don't know the, Trump was a 40-year Democrat.
Yeah.
She was like a 25-year Democrat. But to the positive side of that, they both, Trump and her, have a testimony of coming to their senses on what the Democrat Party was doing to our country. Therefore, they left it.
Yes.
So I think... Left it. See what it did there?
I did.
So I think if Tulsi Gabbard was the person, she's very articulate, I think she would, it's somewhat advantageous if you can have somebody that can tell the story of coming out from liberalism and the dangers of it and what's happening to why, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, me personally, what little I've uncovered about her position, and things change. Her position, she's changed from, a Democrat to Republican, but the issue of the Second Amendment, she's not strong enough on that.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
I'm not saying that I would be in
that's
favor
just personally.
I'm just saying I've heard her name kicked around.
Yeah.
And I think that would be I think that would be problematic for the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Because she would speak to people who are no longer comfortable in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, who may be thinking like she is. Like, I used to be a Democrat, but these people are whacked.
Yeah.
Well, and that, so it's going to be interesting to see.
We got a month. Wesley was right. We're at a month away from the...
We're almost to the longest day of the year.
Well, tomorrow's Friday.
I was talking about the Republican convention, but your statement was also true.
And tomorrow's Friday.
I think for America, from here to November, will be the longest year in history.
Yes.
Hey, anybody else feel like going to Waffle House? I don't know. For some reason, I just feel like we should go.
Somebody call Ben.
Ben
and Mike Pence.
Get ready.
Oh, my goodness.
Get ready, people, for political ads.
Yes.
Never, ever, ever seen them before. Because I know my inbox on my emails, we've all talked about this, I'm getting literally 40 appeals a day from various and different people.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has Donald Trump saying, please, please, please. And I thought, they need to change. I know that's not Donald Trump.
No.
Because he doesn't say please, please, please.
I apparently am Carrie Lake's best friend. I get lots of stuff.
I think Laura Trump sent me one the other day. Said this is your last chance.
Yeah,
I was going like, what are you?
I'm betting it's not your last chance.
I know. But let's see, who else? J.D. Vance sends me them. Marco Rubio sends me them. I'm on some kind of Republican by his name.
Yeah, Liz.
You're on the list, Jerry.
And you can't get off.
No, you can't. You're not getting off.
You can't get off. So anyway, but I'm talking about television and social media and social media, you can't skip. You got to watch 10 seconds, right? Am I right?
That's a big time suck. Social media.
Huh?
It's social media.
Everybody looks over and waits on the skip thing to come up.
Yeah. Yes.
We all wait.
Skip the ad.
3, 2, 1, skip. Listen,
it's like eating Lay's potato chips. Okay, remember the old line, you can't eat just one?
Yes.
Well, you can't just watch one clip on social media. That's the problem. You go from one to the other. Before you know it, you've wasted an hour of your life.
They do know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
With those ones on the... Anyway, all right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio.
I do, before Fred gets to his last story.
Tim, Ed, and Wesley.
Yeah.
And Fred, go ahead.
I did want to make mention of the fact that Willie Mays died last night.
Yeah,
yes.
What age was he? 93 years
93.
Old.
93, yeah.
One of the best baseball
players
ever.
This is interesting because I grew up a pro baseball, just a baseball fan, but I followed pro baseball like many baby boomer males and females.
Yeah.
I mean, it was called America's pastime forever. And but his playing days, I barely remember because I'm 61. I barely remember. I got in on maybe the tail end of that year or two of his career. Wesley's heard the name.
That's right. I've seen a few videos,
some clips, but Willie Mays, you could argue is the greatest overall player in Major League history. By that, I mean defense.
You make a strong, strong argument.
Defense, hitting, home runs, RBIs, magic moments. He said, I was reading last night, Willie Mays said, and it was called the Say Hey Kid. I'm not sure exactly where that came from.
I think it's from that. Maybe that over-the-shoulder catch, say hey. I don't know.
But Willie Mays said, they hit it, I catch it.
Right.
And he said, they throw it, I hit it. that's how he defined baseball.
Yes. Huh?
To your point, he played from 1954 to 72 with the Giants and then 72-73 at the New York Mets. But he was a 24-time All-Star.
Hmm. That must have been every year of his career.
That, I guess that would get kind of head
towards. But for a long time, he and Hank Aaron were kind of head-to-head for who was going to win the home run, who was going to beat Babe Ruth's home run mark.
He finished his career with a batting average of .302.
How many homers?
660 home runs.
Oh, my word.
3,293 hits, over 1,900 runs batted in, 339 stolen bases.
To your point.
He's extraordinary.
And that's not to mention his defense.
And his defense.
Yeah.
What did you say, Wesley?
Well, I was going to add, for the non-baseball followers out there, that's right. A complete player, because if you can hit that many base hits, also have that many home runs,
right,
means that you're able to do it all. Because you do have some people that make the Hall of Fame because of their power hitting.
Yeah.
You have some that make it because of their base hitting, and he had both.
Say hey.
You know, at the length of career that he had, can you imagine the salary differences?
Mm.
You know, he lived long enough to see baseball players become multimillionaires.
Yeah.
You know, at 24 four years of age. A lot, hockey, the same thing. Early on in pro sports, they were paid nothing.
Right. By the way, he was called the Say Hey Kid. He was immortalized by a newspaper. But he would always say, say hey or say what. And he was called the Say Hey Kid in a newspaper, and the nickname stuck.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back after this short timeout with Steve Paisley Jordahl. Thank you, Fred.
You are welcome.
We'll be back in, I don't know, say hey, 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.